Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very own nature, we were subject to God's anger. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even when we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago.
Today, we join with millions of believers all over the world in different cultures and different communities to celebrate one incredible truth, and that is Jesus is alive. Now, it didn't look that way because Jesus suffered a brutal death. He was crucified, He was buried, but on the third day, everything changed when He rose to life again, and He is alive forevermore. Before we get into the message, let's go to the Gospel of Luke and let's read what happened on that beautiful Sunday morning of the resurrection. This is going to be Luke 24, verse 1. It says this, "But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with faces to the ground. Then the men asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead.'" Jesus is alive. And when He rose, sin lost its grip, death lost its final word, and God made a brand new way of life possible. You see, Easter doesn't just allow us to have eternal life someday. It allows us to have a life awakened today. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead many, many years ago has power in our lives today. Power to awaken people who are dead to life. Power to awaken people who are spiritually asleep to life. Power to awaken us to the life that each of us was created to live. And so I'm going to pray and invite the Holy Spirit to be in our midst today. And let's pray for all the churches who are gathered today celebrating this weekend. And so would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, You're here and we're so grateful. But we're asking, would Your kingdom come and would Your will be done in every space and in every place all over the globe that's celebrating this truth that You are alive, that You awaken us to life. We say, come Holy Spirit, may many people come to know You in many places and many spaces this year as we celebrate Easter. We welcome Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the story of Easter is a familiar one. And honestly, that can be a challenge when it comes to fully understanding or really even appreciating the Easter story. You know, for some of us, the Easter story is very familiar. And so it almost feels a little rote, a little routine. You kind of know what's going to happen. It feels predictable. For others of us, we know just enough of the story to be slightly confused. He died and He rose again, but you're not really sure how does that connect to your life today. Now, there's others in this room and listening that you're not even sure you understand the story. You're not sure if you believe and you're searching and you're seeking. The story of Easter often gets reduced to something like this. We've messed up. Jesus fixes it. And we get to go to heaven someday. Now, the problem with this is when we think this is the fullness of the Easter story, it really doesn't feel like the greatest story that's ever been told, or like an idea that's really gonna change our lives. The Bible calls this story the gospel, the good news. But it won't really feel like good news unless we understand what's the bad news. Or in other words, what is the problem that Easter is trying to solve? And I think if we ask different people, we would get a lot of different answers, because a lot of your answer depends on how you see your life. For some of us, when we think about our life, when we think about our choices, when we think about how we're living, we think, I'm a pretty good person. Like, I'm not the best, but I'm not that bad. I'm definitely better than that guy at work. Definitely better than my neighbor. And so we think about ourselves like, okay, like I probably need to do like a little better and be like a little nicer and maybe have like a little guidance in my life, but I don't need a rescue. I don't need a resurrection. I'm a pretty good person. Now there's another group of people here who would say, oh, I know I'm not a good person. I've done terrible things. Or I've had terrible things done to me. There's no way that the story of Easter applies to me. Then there are others of us who would say, on the outside, we look pretty good, but on the inside, it's a different story. We show up, we do what's expected, we follow the line, we keep things moving, but there is a disconnect. Our inner life doesn't match our outer life. Some of you today, you would say, listen, I believe in Jesus. I'm not questioning whether I believe or not, but you're spiritually asleep. You're going through the motions. Faith feels flat, and that might be because you've had a really tough year, or you're really disappointed, or you've gone through things that have been really confusing, and you're really not sure why the good news is really such good news. You see, what happens with the story of Easter so often is it gets boiled down to, think of it as like spiritual life insurance. Someday you're gonna need it when you die and get to go to heaven. And when that is our idea of Easter, the good news really doesn't feel like the good news. But Scripture, it tells us a much deeper story. To understand the good news, we need to understand the bad news. And so we need to understand the problem. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. That's the very first book of the Bible. And in Genesis, we learn that God creates humanity, Adam and Eve. And he creates them because he wants a family. He creates Adam and Eve in his image to reflect him to the world for relationship. And their purpose was to partner with him and to rule and reign. I want you to imagine for a moment that Adam and Eve were as alive in every sense as they could possibly be. They were connected to God. They were secure in who they were. They were living with purpose. But unfortunately, that doesn't last, because by chapter 3, there is a problem. We're introduced to Satan, the enemy, and he deceives Adam and Eve, and they choose to step outside of God's plan. They disobey. The Bible calls that sin. And when they sin, it changes humanity. It changes who we are as people. Scripture tells us that the consequence or the wages of sin is death. Now, if you read that story in Genesis 3, you'll notice Adam and Eve don't immediately physically drop over dead. So what happens? Well, in that moment, something deep happens. They experience a spiritual death. They are disconnected from the life of God. And then what ends up happening is that their condition gets passed down to every single one of us. Why? Because each of us is a human. Sin fractures everything. I want to unpack this briefly because I think it's important. And I want you to listen for how has sin impacted your life. There's three big categories of brokenness that come out of the sin that happened in the story in Genesis. The first is this: sin breaks our relationship with God. Sin separates us from God. And what I have often found is it leads us to two ditches. On one side, there's performance. And on the other side, there's isolation. And I will be honest, I have struggled with performance in my life. And how that shows up is you're striving and you're straining. And you think, okay, God loves me based on what I can do for him. You know, I'm a good girl. I'm a hard worker. And so I can slip into that performance mindset. God, is this enough? Is this enough? On the other side, there's this whole ditch of isolation where people say, oh, I know I'm not good enough. He could never love me. I'm too messed up. And so sin, it breaks our relationship with our Father. Secondly, what does sin do? Sin distorts our identity. You were made to image God. You were made to reflect God to the world. But because of sin, instead of reflecting God, you now reflect brokenness. And so what ends up happening is that we look one way on the outside, but on the inside, it's a different story. Now, many of us learn to manage that image, but our identity gets shaped by our past, by labels, by things you've done, by things that have been done to you. And so sin robs us of our identity. Last but not least, sin robs us or disrupts our purpose. You were created to partner with God. You were created to live in relationship and have dominion over the world. But when sin enters the story, that assignment gets given to the enemy. And so how does this end up playing out in our lives? Well, you have no purpose. You wonder, why am I even here? Why do I have to work? And we settle into survival mode. And so we really wrestle with this question of like, why am I even here? You know, this is hard to believe, but this year, Mike and I will have a senior in high school. And so we've been talking with him about next steps. And the other night, we had a really fascinating conversation about work. And I said to my son, I said, what do you think the purpose of work is? And then I tried really hard to listen. And let me tell you, what the world is telling our young people about work is distorted. It is distorted. And I tried really hard to listen because I knew that I was going to share this. And I believe that many of us were stuck in this place. We feel purposeless. We just want it to be the weekend. We want to have free time because we are miserable because sin has messed us up. And so sin messes with our purpose. It messes with our destiny. And I want to say something. Sin is not a small problem. It is a deep problem. It is a pervasive problem. And it has affected you. And it's affected your friends and your family and your circumstances. And this is why we can't fix it on our own. This is why just being a good person or trying your best or making sure to pay your taxes isn't going to get you into heaven someday. That is not what this is about. We don't need a fresh start. We need a new life. And so that is why the story of Easter is so incredibly important, not just as a tradition. And so today, if you've heard this story 1,000 times, may you have ears to hear it afresh today. Easter is about bringing dead things to life and also an invitation to live fully awake to what God has for you. Okay, let's go to the book of Ephesians. That's going to be our text today. We're going to go to chapter 2. The book of Ephesians was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. And we're going to read a portion of scripture today where the Apostle Paul starts off by asking believers to remember what life was like before they believed. And then he's going to take them on a little path of understanding what did Jesus do when he died and rose again. Okay, so let's read starting in verse 1. It says this, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else." Okay, so what is Paul doing here? Let's pause here for a moment. He is asking believers to remember the problem. If we don't know the bad news, we can't know the good news. And he speaks very candidly about the human condition. You know, he doesn't say we were just sick or we were just struggling or we just slightly off course. No, what does he say? He says we were dead. We were spiritually dead. Now, can you be physically alive and spiritually dead? You can. And we know that to be true. Again, back to the story. Adam and Eve didn't immediately physically drop over dead, but they were dead spiritually. They were disconnected from God. And so Paul's saying here, before Jesus, we live in our sin, like the rest of the world. That we follow and obey the devil. And this wasn't just a private personal matter. And I think many times we want to make it this way. We want to make, well, it's my own personal choice. The reality is what you believe affects how you behave. And so if you are allowing the enemy to be the one who is the Lord of your life, then you are following his desires, your own selfish desires. And there are ramifications there. Did you notice he said that by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger? What is he talking about there? He's actually talking about the problem that was started back in Genesis. If we don't understand the problem, we can't understand the good news. We were dead in our sin. Adam and Eve were the master copy when it comes to humanity. They were the template. And when they sinned, it changed what it meant to be human. The template broke. You inherited the template. Why? You're a human. And so you inherited that death. We became sinners who did sinful things. There's two things happening here. There's an identity of being a sinner, and there is an action of doing sin. We are separated from God. We lose our purpose. And all of this happens because sin enters into the story. And what does sin do? It pushes us towards those disordered desires, and we follow our own sinful inclinations. And this is why simply trying harder or being good or doing our part isn't the answer to the problem. The problem isn't that we need a little adjustment. The problem is that we are dead and we need to come alive. Okay, so this is bad news, but let's keep reading because verse 4 is going to give us some good news. But God is so rich in mercy and loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Do you want to hear something kind of cool? Throughout scripture, that phrase, but God, appears over 40 times. And the resurrection story is a but God story. The problem was massive. We were separated, we were stripped, we were without purpose, but God. And what does God do? Because of his mercy, he moves towards us with deep compassion. The Father does not wait for us to fix ourselves up. No, he comes towards us. Why does he come towards us? Because he loves us. God is love, and he reaches down to people who are dead in their sin, and what does he do? The scripture says, even though we were dead in our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Okay, that's mysterious. We got life when he raised Christ from the dead. Through the resurrection of Jesus, we are awakened to life. That same power that rose Jesus from the grave is the power that makes us alive in Christ today. This is beautiful and mysterious. Here's the thing. We weren't just struggling. We were dry. We were spiritually dry, like land that was parched, needing water, cracked, barren. And what Easter is, it's the moment where the living water breaks in and where what's dry gets drenched by God's mercy and his love. And how is this done? What did the scripture say? It's done through grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is God's ability and desire to do what we cannot do. Dead people don't revive themselves. Through Christ, we aren't just improved. It's not just a better version of yourself. We are awakened to life, from death to life. And then did you notice the good news? It didn't stop there. We're not just made alive. We have been given a new seat. We have been placed with him, a new position in heavenly places, which means we're not just standing at the edge of the water hoping for a few drops. No, we are in that river, fully immersed in his love and his power and his spirit. Why did Jesus awaken us to life? Let's go to verse 7, because Paul's going to talk about this. He says this, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. So what's Paul saying? He's saying so that for all of eternity, our lives would testify to God's grace, love, power, and kindness. Our stories become evidence of his goodness. Your life is meant to be a billboard to the world to say, this is who God is. This is how God acts. This is how God saves. Testifying the goodness of God to a dead and hurting world. And this is not just for a moment. This is for all ages. This means it's lasting. There is a real future ahead of us, a good one, a secure one, an eternal one. Now, today I'm talking about being awakened to life here and now, but the good news of Easter is that you will have eternal life when you believe in Jesus. And we want to be clear about that. That is good news for Easter, and that's especially good news if you've lost someone this year. If there is a missing seat at your table as you gather to have your Easter meal, there is real pain there, but this is the hope you have. If they believed in Jesus, your story is not over with them. You will see them again because Easter is good news for today and good news for eternity. Paul wants to make sure that we're clear on just a couple more things. Let's read a few more verses. Verse 8, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God, Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. So important, verse 8. God has saved you by his grace when you believed. Salvation is not achieved, it's received. And it's received through belief. Okay, we're going to talk about that, but let's just talk briefly. What does it mean to become a Christian? How do we become a Christian? Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Becoming a Christian is a choice. You must do two things: confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. What does it mean to believe? It means to put your faith or your trust in God. It means to make him the Lord of your life. And it doesn't happen by osmosis. It does not happen just by walking into this room or listening to me right now. It is a choice that you make to say, I surrender, I believe, and later on today, we'll have an opportunity to do that. The resurrection is not a reward for good people. It is a gift for dead people. So you can receive that reward today. And again, we might be tempted, okay, well, let's make sure we're doing our part. Let's make sure we're doing our part. But what does Paul say here? That's not how it works, because it's not about how good you are or how bad you are. It's about what he did. It's about who he is. And it's about receiving that. And honestly, I think this whole part is really about embracing humility. It's not based on us. It's based on him. This is a gift from God that we then are to receive. So what happens when we believe? What happens when you believe in Jesus? Did you notice how much language there was, like with or united, with united? Something happens, we're joined with Jesus, and it's wild and mysterious and wonderful. Let's go to another Romans passage, this time Romans 6, and read what Paul writes, what happens when we believe in Jesus. He says this, or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Okay, just for a minute, close your eyes. I want you to imagine Jesus on the cross. I want you to picture his body broken for you. The nails in his hands and his feet. The crown of thorns on top of his head. And I want you to sit with this incredible truth. You were with him. You were crucified with him. You were buried with him. And you are resurrected with him. You can open your eyes. You see, when you believe in Jesus, your old life that is shaped by sin, separation, distortion, it is over. It is put to death, because when you believe in Jesus, you are made new. Scripture says you are a new creation. Our identity becomes restored. Our relationship is restored. Our purpose is restored. And you have been awakened to life. So the story of Easter is about being dead to being awake, or from being dead to being alive. But it's also about being awakened and staying awake. And you need to learn to live in the reality of your new life. You need to learn to live in the reality of your new identity as a righteous son and daughter. And that is what it's like to stay awake, not stuck or stagnant, not okay on the outside, but not okay on the inside. And thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit to help us do that. Okay, I want to read one more verse in Ephesians. And I want you to think about this verse through the lens of the gospel, through the lens of the three problems that we've talked about today. Okay, listen, Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Do you see how this answers the three problems that sin put into motion? Let's just unpack very briefly. The first is this, for we are God's masterpiece. What does that even mean? Masterpiece, we are his artwork. We are his poetry. We are his beloved sons and daughters. And when you believe in Jesus, you are reconciled back into relationship with your Father. And what this means is that you learn to live as a beloved son or daughter. If you're striving, you stop. If you think you're unworthy, you now know that you're worthy based on what he's done, not what you've done. And so we see this incredible truth of reconciliation. Secondly, it says he has created us anew in Christ Jesus Through belief in Jesus, our identity is restored. What does that mean? It means that you were a sinner, but through Jesus, you become a saint. And you learn to live in the reality of that incredible gift. Your past no longer defines you. And this changes. It changes how you see yourself, and it changes how you see others. And then last but not least, we've been made anew. Why? So that we could do the good things that he planned for us long ago. You see, when you believe in Jesus, he releases you into your destiny. He releases you into your purpose. You were made to partner with him. What God does in you, he wants to do through you. And so your life can become an adventure again. You want to say, why am I here, God? He wants to tell you why you're here. He wants to change you and your family and your neighborhood and your school and your work and this town, because that is what he does. He takes people, he makes them carriers of the good news, and they are supposed to be like rivers, getting people wet constantly with the love and goodness and mercy of God. And so when we think about the Easter story in the book of Ephesians, what could we say is the Easter story? It's this: we were dead, but God, by his mercy, in his love, by grace, when we believe in him, we are made new, his masterpieces, his beloved sons and daughters. Why? So that we can do the good works that he planned for us long ago. This is what I'll tell you. I'll tell you this: God is awakening people in this season. And today, some of you are dead and you need to come alive. Some of you are alive, but you're asleep and you need to wake up. I had no idea how God was going to be awakening people in this season. When I stood on this stage about a year ago and we celebrated Easter 2025, I had no idea what God was going to do. But over the last year, we've had the incredible privilege of baptizing over 500 people who have declared with their body, I am dead to sin and I'm alive to God. And we want to walk with people to stay awake in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to do right now is I want to share two stories with you, two very different stories. Because here's the thing: God knows what you need today. I don't know what you need. I don't know what part of the story you're at, but God knows. And I want to share the story of Liam, a 16-year-old junior, and I want to share the story of Jana, a 40-something mom. Two totally different stories. Two totally different paths, but the same Jesus, awakening both of them. So let's watch this story.
That water has no power. Jesus Christ has the power. We call this a grave. And so when you go into the water, it's like joining Jesus in his death. And when you are raised up, it's saying, I have been raised up to new life. The Bible says we have been made new.
Like a year ago, if you would have asked me if I had a good life or if I like enjoyed who I was, I totally would have said yes. In the eyes of the world, it's completely true. I was the life of the party. I would go drink and smoke and cuss with my friends and listen and sing songs that were just absolutely horrible. And I just like, I saw no problem in it. And I mean, I grew up in the church. I grew up loving Jesus. But I felt like as I got older, I just got farther and farther from him. I've been coming to the Vineyard for like 2 years. I've been part of the youth. And I went to Sons and Daughters last year. And on the first night, I was baptized. But really, that just didn't, like, it's supposed to be a turning point. It just wasn't in my life. It took a couple months until later in 2025 to really kick in. I would still drink and I'd still smoke. But it wasn't until literally November 1st. And I remember I was sitting in a coffee shop reading a book about the crucifixion, the suffering Christ went through. And I just knew in the back of my head that he had me in mind the whole time. And like, he didn't do it for no reason. He did it thinking of me. And I literally, like, I had to get up and leave because I couldn't sit there reading about what Christ did for me, knowing I was still in my sin. I stopped drinking and I stopped smoking. Since I've quit everything, I've gotten so much more joy in my life that doesn't come from substances or friends. It comes from the Lord. It just comes from that. And I feel like I'm such a more happier person. Once I was saved and baptized, I just couldn't really hold it in. So one of the first people I went to is my sister, which honestly, me and my sister have never been close. I went and told her, like, this happened at this youth camp. I want you to come to church with me. She came to the Vineyard with me, and she got baptized a few weeks later along with one of her best friends. And she's just been so set free since then, along with multiple of my friends. And I remember after Reverb, I was supposed to go to a party that night, which was like huge for me, like, because I hadn't drank anything in months, I hadn't smoked, I hadn't done anything in months. I was supposed to go to a party the day I got back from a church camp. But I actually, we ended up going evangelizing with Samuel on Green Street. And when we got home, one of my friends, he took all the weed he had left in his house. He went and stomped it out in the street. I had another friend drown his vape. We ended up throwing it in a field later. I took all the alcohol I had hidden in my house and dumped it down the drain. And it was just such a, like, I had been free, but it was such like an eye-opening moment of just this complete freedom in Christ. And then through that, he also gave me just an amazing group of friends that love him and want to worship him. All I can do is tell people about it. I was dead in sin and addiction, and that Jesus came in, he picked me up, and he just saved me from who I was, and he has truly awakened me to life and just showed me what real joy is, and it doesn't come from a bottle or a pill or a vape, and it just comes from him, loving him, and following him.
The church I went to, a lot of the children there were not very nice and would bully myself and my brother and a lot of the other kids, kind of threw church off. Didn't really want anything to do with it. I didn't know what to do. Things did look good on the outside to everyone else around me. I tried to be top mom, top wife, top everything that everyone needed. So to everyone around me, my role just looked normal, fine. But my insides, I knew I was missing something. I knew there was a lot that I knew I needed to work on myself, and just didn't know what to do, where to go. Just kind of felt lost. Kept doing myself, being me, moving through life, doing the best that I could do. Until one day my children came home and said, "Mom, there's a new church we've gone to and we want you to come and check it out." And came to Vineyard and changed my life. Coming into the church, my children brought me in, watching them grow in their journey and in their faith. Both of my children got baptized, and just watching them, that was one of the happiest days of my life. Seeing the change in them in school, in their life with their friends, with our family, seeing them grow, true love. Watching them made me want to have what they had. Seeing what their journey took them on, I wanted what they had. So coming into the church and following the steps of my children, bringing me into my baptism, and growing in my faith, and having that moment of awakening of true love and true community, and then myself being baptized. And in that moment, feeling the pure love of not only my family, but the community of the church around me, I felt awakened to what I felt like was the love of the Lord. I didn't feel like I deserved it, but that day on my baptism, you couldn't tell me anything. You couldn't tell me anything at all. I knew I was loved. I knew the Lord was here for me. I knew he brought me into a community that I could grow in, not only for myself, but for my children and my family. Many things have changed in my life, my work, just the growth in my family, growing in my community, as well as also joining the Alpha group here with Vineyard Church. And it awoke something in me that I could not deny and could not hide and had to share with everyone. And after myself, I had multiple nieces and nephews, father-in-law, friends, people that I love come and get baptized after me, as well as family members I thought I would never be able to get to come into the church. We were able to get them to come through those doors and now become members.
I just feel his deep love. All of this was because he loved you. And so I want to start with that question, why wait? I think there's three groups of people in this room. There's people who are dead. You've never said yes to Jesus. and you need to come alive today, then I think there's people in this room that you have said yes to Jesus. You're alive, but you're asleep. And today is the day to wake up. And then I think there's a group of people that I'm sure are alive and awake. And that's amazing. And you'll get to worship and sing with joy all throughout. And I haven't even said anything, but I think someone's making a decision. So God, we honor the decision of that young man. I'm gonna ask you to do something a little unusual. If you are dead, if you have never said yes to Jesus, if you are lost, today is your day. Do not wait. I wanna invite you to stand right where you're at, and that's all you're gonna do right now. You're just gonna stand. If you are dead and you know you need to come alive, this is not for me, this is for you. I know it's hard to stand. Okay, we're gonna do something a little bit different. You're gonna keep standing. I'm gonna put a salvation prayer up. And this is one way that we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, okay? And I'd like us to read this with our two friends who are saying yes to Jesus today. And so we're gonna just read this together. Are you ready? Okay, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins and rose again so I could have new life. Today, I turn from my sin and I put my trust in you. Forgive me, make me new, and fill me with your spirit. I choose to follow you all the days of my life. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, ladies that are standing or anyone else, I want to invite you during worship to come down front. We want to lay hands on you. We want to pray for you and bless that decision. I'm going to invite you all to stand right now. And I do believe there are many people here today who need to be awakened. You are asleep. You know you're asleep. What you need to do is you need to repent. And that just simply means you change your mind. You tell the Lord you're sorry. You remember what he's done. And I want to invite you to come down. We have ministry team already available and ready to pray for you. If that is you today and you know you need to come awake, I also know that there are people today, you want to be water baptized, and we do have shorts and t-shirts and all the things. You're gonna come to the baptism info area. But what we're gonna do now is we're gonna worship and just see what Jesus wants to do, and we'll come up and do some ministry time. So we say, Holy Spirit, we give you full permission, God. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for making us alive. And we pray that your spirit would reign now as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.